we got that far. Listeners, we're having a little production problem here, but we're going to be talking to Gabrielle Geller. How do you pronounce your wines, Gabrielle? We're
wine.
Talking about
Royal Wine, and we are discussing.
No, yeah, you're explain that. You are the big seller of kosher wines, Royal Wine. We're supposed to be talking today about the wines that you said there's kosher samples of, which Pesagot. How do you pronounce it?
Pesagot.
Pesa. Do it again. Okay, well, anyhow, I read about this, and they're big-time kosher wines produced in Israel. In the history, I'm going to let you direct us in terms of the history, because it's very complicated, I think.
okay.
Perhaps you could start.
Okay, so we're talking about Pesagot Wines. So Pesagot Winery is a winery that was established in 2002 in the Jerusalem Mountains, north of Jerusalem in Israel, by a couple named Yaakov and Naama Berg. They discovered, basically in their backyard, a cave that contained an ancient coin dating back to the second temple era in Jerusalem, as well as an ancient wine press, which was a testimony of wine production back in those days. And that's how they have the vision and the inspiration to create a winery there and reestablish wine production in what was once one of the first and the most prized wine regions in the world.
So it really was considered that good, huh?
Yes.
And for the benefit of our listeners across the world, why don't you tell them the varieties of wine that you produce? Because we started on them, and they were pretty damn good. But there's a whole lot in your portfolio of wines that we'd like for you to tell our listeners about. Can you go ahead and do that for us?
Right. So Pesagot Winery started as a very small boutique winery, producing as little as 2,000 cases a year, and it has grown to a very big winery, producing about 85,000 cases a year nowadays. However, they have invested a lot of resources into the quality of the wine so that they maintain that boutique quality across the board, even though they not produce on quite a commercial level, scale-wise. And they have a very broad range of wines. There is a white and rosé and red, dry and semi-dry and sweet wines as well. There is, among others, of course, Cabernet Sauvignon. There is also Malbec. There are some blends, Mediterranean blends, such as the Pesagot Peak, which was just awarded 97 points and Best of Show at the Wine and Spirits Wholesale Association competition just a month ago in Colorado. And they've garnered a lot of awards and ratings from the top wine critics, such as James Suckling, the Wine Spectator, the Wine Advocate, Decanter, and so on and so forth. And so there is a very broad range of different wines, and the wines retail for as little as $25 and all the way up to about $150, $160.
Now, talk to me about the process that you use when you're making when the wine is being made, because I get a sense from what I was reading that it's a whole lot different than people
no,
in the
so
United
no,
States,
it's not,
for example.
it is not very very different. So in this particular case, Sagot Winery is a kosher winery. All their wines are kosher. They are always kosher. It's not a special kosher production that is produced at a winery that is otherwise not kosher. So what that means practically is that the winery is a Sabbath observant. There is no work being done whatsoever during the Sabbath and Jewish holidays, such as Passover, for instance. But otherwise, in terms of harvesting, in terms of the wine production itself, the winemaking, that is done exactly like that any other winery, kosher or not, anywhere else in the world, using the same type of oak barrels, using the same type of fermentation tanks, and all the process is very similar to what is being done at most other wineries.
Now, you have very distinctive terroir, and I think that really deserves a lot of attention. Could you explain what I'm talking about, or what the terroir is?
Sure. So the terroir is specifically, so the region is known generally as the Judean Hills. By the way, the Judean Hills is the first Israeli appellation that is internationally recognized as an appellation. So legally, they can write on the label Judean Hills as the appellation, for the U.S. market, for instance, or for the European market. And that terroir specifically is, it's a very mountainous region with pretty sharp differences in temperature between day and night. The soil itself, there is limestone. There is terra rossa and gravel. So there is obviously similarities to some other regions, of course, a little Bordeaux, a little Rhone Valley. Rhone Valley, I would say, is closer both in terms of the soil and in terms of the climate in general, the temperatures and the humidity and altitude as well. But what you have there that is unique is you have some grape varieties that are grown and are blended together, like the Psegot Peak, which I was referring to before, which produce really quite unique blends that you do not find anywhere else in the world, with blends of, for instance, Cabernet Sauvignon, Petite Syrah, and Mourvèdre. Those are, grapes that are well known on their own. However, blending them together is pretty unique, and that's something that they do at Sagot, and they do it with great success. And those are wines to discover, whether you keep kosher or not, whether it is for Passover or for any other time of the year. Those are special wines that any self-respecting wine lover should check out.
check this out. It sounds to me like that should be the first sentence in the description of your product that we've been talking
right
about. But a lot of people consider terroir to be the ne plus ultra, if you like, of what wines should be like, and to put it in a simple way, it's all about the dirt.
That's right.
And the dirt in the Jerusalem Hills must be something rather special.
It's very special because, as you know, Israel is not a country where there is a lot of rain, and rain, of course, is very important to grow anything, grapevines as well. But they do get, some rainfall and some snowfall, and the dirt, the soil itself in the Jerusalem mountains has great water retention, which allows for very high quality grapevines that grow concentrated, rich grapes that then, you know, produce such amazing wine.
Tell us about this coin that is attached to the bottle.
Yes. The coin that I mentioned before, there's a replica that's attached to the bottle, and that's like the signature. It's like the non-official logo of Psagot Wines. They have that signature coin, which is really, like I said, at the foundation of the winery itself.
And now, the publicist suggested a question that I probably would not have asked because it gets very complicated, but who owns this winery?
So the couple that I mentioned before, the founders, are Yaakov and Nana Berg. So they are this couple who, back then, when they started the winery, they were a young couple. They are still a young couple, at least in spirit. I believe that they are in their early 50s now. But they retain a very young and dynamic spirit, and it's quite impressive what they have made of this winery, which is absolutely magnificent. It's a huge and beautiful winery and visitor center that they have. You know, it's a 15-minute drive from downtown Jerusalem, and really an amazing place to visit for anyone visiting Israel. There's so much to see there, even for people who are not necessarily big wine connoisseur or wine geeks. There's so much to see, so much to do there. That it's a place to go. They have a coffee shop there, with delicious food, where they serve the wine, and it's really a place to see, because both the winery itself and its surroundings and the views and where it's located are absolutely amazing.
Tell us a little bit more about how the wines are distributed and where it is around the world, I guess, where people are going to be able to put these in their wine cellar, and
that's right.
Put them on the dinner table. Last evening we drank a wine made out of Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Which it turned out was ridiculously fabulous.
It was true.
When I paired it with Indian food.
With Indian, modern Indian food.
So if you
sounds
if
fantastic.
You
want to, now I'm in the mood for Indian food.
This is just to let possible buyers of the particular wines you produce, they should certainly not be afraid of experimenting with what is in many respects a whole new, what's the word I'm looking for,
genre.
a whole new genre. And a way of sampling wine with feeling.
That's right. That's right. People should absolutely keep an open mind and not be afraid of experimenting with with wines from countries such as Israel. And yes, you can find those wines. It depends, of course, where you're located, as far as brick and mortar stores. If you live in the New York metro area, where there is a large Jewish community, there is a lot of retailers that stock Psagot wine. In other areas, there is some Costco's that have some of their wines, and otherwise there is many online retailers. You just have to type Psagot wine on Google, and quite a few of those retailers stock the wines from Psagot Winery. The USA is Psagot's first export market, and I believe actually that they sell more wine in the United States than they sell domestically in Israel, which is quite impressive. Usually Israeli wineries that do export their wines, usually they sell about 5 to 10% to export, and the rest is sold domestically. For Psagot, I think that 50 to 60% of their production goes to export, mostly to America.
Yeah, now I'm not surprised. I mean, to say the truth, strangely enough, of chocolate, but that's way off base. How do you continue your production in an era that's so rampant with conflict?
Right.
Hello?
Hello? Do you hear me?
Yeah. Did you hear my question?
Can you repeat, please?
The question is, how do you continue production when you're in an area of so much conflict?
It's a great question. I think it's a matter of resilience. When you are so passionate about winemaking, of course, but about also the land of Israel and the history, of course there are challenges, but you overcome those challenges. And it comes, of course, at a price, and there's a lot of security, and there's a lot of investments that need to be done to secure the winery itself, to secure the vineyards, the harvest, etc. But you know, they've been doing it now for over 20 years, and so far so good. You know, you just need to have resilience, to believe in what you do, and what you can say about Yaakov and Naama Berg is that they are probably the biggest believers in what they do in all of Israel.
Yeah. Now, what would you tell a buyer of wine that is so special about this particular brand of wine, Pisago, which is, I never got it right, the pronunciation, over the other quality, and there are so many high quality kosher wines now, very different from when I was growing up.
For sure. So I would say two things. So first of all, as I mentioned before, they produce blends, they produce wines that are very unique in the way that they are produced in terms of grape varieties, the blends that they make, and resulting in wines that are interesting on their own, and really something to look for, you know, regardless of your personal affinity with kosher wines or Israeli wines. But, you know, as a wine lover, as someone who's looking for quality wine, and something interesting and different, it's something to look for, and that's what Psagot wines are also about. And secondly, it's, again, that history, the place where they're located, the passion that they have, that Psagot Winery has in terms of the ancient history of the location itself and its relation to wine production in general, and the fact that they have been able to recreate a winery in that region that is on par with the best in the world is really something that set them apart, both in terms of the kosher wine world in general and but in the wine world at large.
Yeah, now, I mean, it's quality wine, this is true. Like, I'm curious as to how many people, even, say, non-observant, how many people would pick a kosher wine over the many other varieties of quality wine on the market?
I think, actually, a lot of people. You know, if you're only looking for quality wine, and you do not need or look particularly for a kosher wine, those are wines, Psagot, but there are also others, of course, that are well worth, you know, looking for. It's just like, you know, there are many other products on the market. If you take, just to give you an example, let's say Häagen-Dazs ice cream. So Häagen-Dazs ice cream, yeah. Delicious ice cream that everyone buys because it's delicious, and kosher-keeping people buy it both because it's delicious and because it's kosher. So for the people for whom it is relevant that it is kosher, that's one thing. But for someone else who is not looking specifically for kosher wine, those are wines, of course, that are well worth seeking, you know, regardless of that criteria.
Why is it we know so little? I mean, when this wine was starting out and developing the production, they discovered ancient roots for wine production in the area. I mean, why
right.
didn't anybody know it? I mean, tell us a little bit about that history.
Okay, so it's true that about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they discovered that there are some ancient grapevines that actually been around for a while, but that were used mainly as table grapes. And there was research done at Ariel University in Israel by Dr. Shivi Drori. He's himself a winemaker and owns a winery in the region. And he discovered that some of those grape varieties were actually used to produce wine all the way back in ancient times. And recently restarted producing fine wine from those varieties. Of course, there was a lot of experimenting to achieve the wine that is of quality. And there is more and more options nowadays on the market. With several Israeli wineries using now those varieties, either as a standalone or in blends. With different degrees of success, and it's really something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. I know we've probably missed a lot of points because it's such a complicated history and the whole. And it's such a total experience at this winery. But I appreciate all the information you did give us. And why don't you throw in the Royal Wine website for ordering?
Okay. So there's no really Royal website for ordering. You can check out our website, royalwine.com. To take a look at the portfolio, the different brands and different wines under each of those brands that we represent. However, being a wholesaler, we do not sell directly to consumers. You have to go through a retailer, you have to go through a restaurant to get our wine. And there is many stores, both brick and mortar and online. That sell our wines, and especially the Psagot wines, which we just discussed.
Well, it's been an enormous help. It's only like the start of the story. I guess people should check out the winery website as well to get some more of an intriguing story about it. And that is, spell it out, would you? The website.
The website for the winery. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's one more psagotwine.co.il, but I would need to double check that. If you just type in Google Psagot Winery Israel, you will find it at the top of the list. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, psagotwine.co.il.
Well, it's fascinating history, and I can't thank you enough, Gabrielle, for talking to us about
course.
It. Good sales in the U.S. and other parts of the world. It's up and coming here.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, take care. Looking forward to the next time.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.